Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. With the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called out unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is to this day. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, as the stars in heaven, and as to the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a name of God that we find in Genesis chapter 22? Genesis 22 in verse number 14, the name of God, Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, which means the God that provides. The God that provides. And with the Lord's help, I'd like to preach the message in context about Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's talk and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come up to you to talk to the God of heaven and earth, the God who abides, the God who lives, I'm asking that you would rain down your spirit upon us today. That, Lord, we would understand more about you and who you are, and that we would see our responsibility of behaving towards you. I'm asking that you would grab a hold of our hearts today, that you would draw us close. I'm asking that you would give me every heart this morning and every mind, that they wouldn't be drifting off and thinking about different other things, but they would be upon you and your word this morning, that they would be honestly seeking your face and looking for you, and that lives would be changed because they see who you truly are. Lord, I recognize my own weaknesses, my own flesh, and I have no ability of myself. So the best I know how, once again, I pray and reckon myself dead. I give you my tongue, my mind, my desires, my ambitions, and I reckon myself dead and beg that you fill me with your precious Spirit for the purpose that you get your own name glorified by your holy word. Lord, you do it all and you get all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. The God that provides. Now, normally this is a famous Sunday school lesson, but may I take it from the Sunday school and take it to practical application and learn a little bit more about who God is and how he reveals himself in this passage? The first thing I'd like to show you in this passage is the obedience of Abraham. The obedience of Abraham. Now, let me run some context to you. That God had told Abraham that he was going to have a son, and that from this son God would bless him, and from this son that God would have all the nations of the earth be blessed, from this son that he would multiply it to like the sands of the sea and the stars of the night. And Abraham waited and waited and waited and waited and waited for this son of promise. They waited so long that Abraham and Sarah were both past childbearing age, but yet they still waited. They waited so long that they decided to take matters in their own hands, and they went and took a little servant girl, and they had the son of Ishmael come out from that, but that was the son of the flesh. And God said, no, that's not the son. Finally, at 100 years old, 99 years old, Abraham got the son of promise. He finally got his son. That's a long time to wait to have a child. That's a long time to wait for God to open up Sarah's womb. But finally, he got this child. Can you imagine waiting for so long? How important that little baby was. How important that little child was. How important that teenager was. How important that young man was to Abraham and to Sarah. How important they were. This was the one they waited for 100 years. Abraham's an old man. Oh, but how he loved that son. This was the son that God promised him to have. This is the son that he was promised. And now God is going to use this boy. With that in mind, let me show you that obedience of Abraham. Notice verse number 1. And it came to pass that after these things that God did tempt. This word tempt carries the idea of put Abraham through a trial. He says, let's put Abraham to a test here. Let's see how much he loves his son compared to how much he loves me. You see, the way that we love God should be different from the way that we love anyone else. You know, in the book of Colossians, it says that Jesus should have the preeminence. Let me give you an example of what it means by preeminence. Some people believe that Jesus should be the top of the list. I want to say Jesus should not be at the top of the list. He should be his own list. For example, let me give you this. Here's my wife. Honey, out of all the women that I love you the most. She doesn't like to hear that. She wants to hear that I love her like I love no one else. You know how Jesus wants us to love him? He wants us to love him like we love no one else. And so he said, I know he loves Isaac. I know he loves Isaac so much. But let's see which one he loves like no other. And so we have the obedience of Abraham being tried. Will he still obey me when it comes to something he loves more than anything else? Let's see. It says, and he said to him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here am I. And he, that's God, said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee to the land of Moriah, and offer him, that's Isaac, there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of. Could you imagine God talking with Abraham, and Abraham's walking with God, and God says, "Abraham, yes, sir, I want you to take your son, Isaac, who you love so much, and I want you to take him to a mountain where I'm going to tell you of. You're not going to know where it is until I tell you. And I want you to offer your son as a burnt offering, a burnt sacrifice. I want you to kill your son for me." You know, that took a lot of obedience for Abraham, for having this son that he loved so much. This was a trial to see if Abraham would love God more, if he did love God more. So let's see. Here he received the news and he's had it dwelt over it. How does he respond? Notice with me verse number 3. Let's see about this obedience. "And Abraham rose up early in the morning." You know, the first thing we see about Abraham's obedience is he obeyed immediately. He obeyed immediately. You know, when we delay, our hearts get hardened. When we don't obey God immediately, our hearts start to crust over a little. We start to question God. We start to try to come up with excuses of why we can't do it. But not Abraham. Here, he was asked to do one of the most unthinkable things in his own mind. How much he loved that boy. But he didn't hesitate. He didn't say, "Well, let's do a survey. Let's do pros and cons." He woke up immediately and he obeyed God. He rose up early. He did it with purpose. He obeyed immediately. Notice as we go on, let's see more about this. "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for burnt offering and rose up and went to the place of which God had told him." So he wakes up early in the morning and gets two of his servants, said, "Come on, you come with me. Isaac, come on. Let's bundle up." They gathered up an ass or a donkey. They went ahead and grabbed some wood. They grabbed a fire. And they said, "Let's go." What they don't say is what they told Sarah. He probably told his wife. He said, "We'll be back. We're going to go worship. We'll probably be back." I don't know. My own opinion, I don't think he told her the whole plan. I don't think she would be as accommodating. That's just my own opinion. I could be wrong. But it doesn't say anything. But he grabs two servant boys, grabs Isaac, grabs the wood, and says, "Let's go. Where are we going? We'll know when we get there. Let's go." And so they started going. They traveled 3 days. Notice verse number 4. "And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, 'Abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you.'" As we see about Abraham's worship, there's a second thing we see about his obedience here, is that Abraham removed the things that may stop his obedience. He removed the things that would stop his obedience. He told the two young men, "Wait here, me and the boy, we're going to go walk up to the mountain. We're going to go walk up, we'll come back." By the way, that was a lot of faith. God had just said, "You're going to go offer your son as a sacrifice," but he told these young men that him and the son were going to come back. You know why he was obedient? Because he trusted in God. He didn't know how it was going to work out, but he knew that God had promised him this son. And he said that this is the son, not Ishmael, this is the son that God was going to build nations over. So maybe he believed that God was going to raise him up. Maybe he believed God was going to supernaturally do something. Maybe he was going to make it so Isaac wouldn't die. He didn't know what it was going to do, but he had faith that both him and the son was going to come back. But he had to put the two servants behind. Don't you think the servants might want to intervene if they watched a father trying to take a knife? So what he did is he put away anything that might stop his obedience. Do you know that there's sometimes you may have friends that may stop you from obeying the Lord? You may have people that you care about. You know, everyone has a wet blanket. When you tell them that you got something that you want to do for the Lord and start getting on fire, everyone's got wet blankets. Tell you why it can't be done, why you shouldn't do that, why you're wasting your time. Here, what Abraham simply did is he removed those things that would stop him from obeying the Lord. He's going to obey the Lord, and he's not going to let anything get in the way of him obeying the Lord. This is what the Lord wants him to do. And so he set those things aside, but he also had such a great faith that God was going to keep his word. He didn't know how it was going to work out, but he had faith that him and his son were going to come back. We saw the obedience of Abraham, that he obeyed God in one of the most unthinkable. I mean, this is a pondering thing. By the way, let me insert this. God will never ask you to sacrifice your son. This is a one-time thing. Then he made a law and said, you can't do that. But this is before the law, and this was a special relationship. So, again, don't get in the mind that you could go kill your kids and get away with it and say, blame it on God. I know that there's people that try to do that, and I'm trusting you're not going to do it. You may feel like it, but don't. God did not tell you. God told you to raise your kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'll just put that little mark right there. All right? But then we have the submissiveness of Isaac. Not only the obedience of Abraham, but we have the submissiveness of Isaac. Notice here, as we go in verse number 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? As we see here the submissiveness of Isaac, and this thing that's about to happen, do you know that God did not tell Isaac what was going to go happen? Do you know who told him? Abraham. You know, part of our submissiveness is obeying authority, trusting that God directs authority, and that we obey God-given authority. That we may not understand what's going to happen. We may not understand how it's going to work out. But as we submit to authority, we can trust that God has got something in mind. That our job is to submit. Abraham's obeying. Here, Isaac is submitting. Notice as we go on, as we're taught to obey biblical authority, carry this. So Isaac asks a legitimate question. He says, all right, we're going up to this mountain. Here is the fire. Here is the wood, but where is the lamb? Notice Abraham's response in Genesis chapter 22, Genesis 22 and verse number 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. Verse number 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. So here we see this. They go up to Mount Moriah. He builds the altar and takes the time to set it in order. Then notice this curious word. Sometimes we read over it and just kind of get the story in mind, but there's a lot to it. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him up on the altar of wood. Now, let's add some context. I know some of the Sunday school pictures show something different, but Abraham is 133 years old. Isaac is 33 years old. As an idea of practicality, if that 33-year-old did not want to be laid down and tied up against a 100-plus-year-old man, he was not going to. You know what we see about Abraham, or Isaac here? He willingly obeyed and submitted to his father. His life was not taken from him. He willingly laid his life down. Why? He submitted to authority. You know we have a submissive problem in our country today. Here we have a son who's trusting his father so much. Let me also interject. His father has earned the trust of his son. But his son trusted his father so much, he willingly laid down on the altar, knowing what it was there for, allowed his father to bound him up because he trusted and submitted to authority. No, he wasn't pushed or tied to it unwillingly. He willingly laid down his life. You know, we have a submissive problem. We want to fight against authority. Even if it's something simple, we want to rebel. We want our rights. We don't want someone telling us what to do. That's Americanism, by the way. We are our own person. Don't tell me what to do. And we pride ourselves on breaking the law, on rebelling against authority. You know, kids, they rebel against their teacher. The teacher tells them something to do, and they don't do it. Or tell them not to do it, and they do it. That's rebellion. You know, if you're told not to do it, guess what your flesh wants to do? It wants to do it. As soon as you're told no, it wants to do it. It is a submissive problem. Let me tell you, it is a heart problem. It is a heart problem towards God. You will not obey invisible authority until you obey visible authority. You will not obey invisible authority until you first obey visible authority. You can't say, I obey God, but you don't obey your parents, right? You don't obey God if you don't obey your parents. You don't obey God if you don't obey your pastor. You don't obey God if you don't obey your boss. Now, what I'm speaking about these things, if they're not asking you something illegal, immoral, or unbiblical, guess what? Do them with your whole heart, even if it's something you don't want to do. God has given that authority. This is against every fiber of Americans. It is. But again, we have the illustration of a son who was told by his father that God promised you, me, my son, but he also wants me to put you on this altar to kill you and to burn your body. Will you willingly lay down? Because God is going to work and he's going to make it so you don't die or you raise again or something's going to happen. But trust me, God is going to watch over you. You know how much trust that was? You know how much trust? You know, how much are you willing to trust your authority? You say that's a pretty big thing. Well, if you're not going to obey in the small things, you're not going to obey in the big things. Let me show you that. Notice again in verse number 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. You know, Isaac carried his own wood up this mountain. The wood that he was going to lay down. You see, if you're not going to obey in the small things, you're not going to obey in the big things. You see, obedience is made up of those small little things. You say, well, it's not a big deal. I don't have to obey that. No, you're developing the habit of obedience. That's what it is. You're developing the habit of obedience. You should obey. Kids, we've got plenty of kids here, so I'm trying to put an emphasis. Obey your parents in the Lord. Why? For this is right. Obey them. You know what the Bible talks about in Proverbs, what your parents' orders are? The Bible says they are law, they are commandments. In your own house, mom and dad, when they say, because I said so, that's a biblical answer. You know, you don't need a reason why. You need to obey. In fact, hold your finger here and turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Turn your book, we're coming back here, Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Some people say, well, as soon as I understand, then I will obey. But do you know that's backwards? That's not what the Bible says. Notice Proverbs chapter 16 and notice verse number 3. Proverbs 16 verse 3, it says, commit thy works unto the Lord and thy thoughts shall be established. Here it says, obey first and then God will fix your thinking. Obey first and God will fix your thinking. Sometimes you say, well, I don't understand why. Obey anyways, and God will make it clear. Again, I'm speaking about something that if some leadership is asking you something that's not immoral, not illegal, not unbiblical, you have every biblical responsibility to obey them with your whole heart. Why? Because God said so. It's a test to see if you obey God or not. And it's your submissiveness. You know, some people will say, well, my boss asked me to clean the toilets. Well, is that illegal? Well, it's not in my job description. if as long as it's not unbiblical, if it's not unreasonable, do it. And do it with a song in your heart. Do it for the Lord's sake, because it's for the Lord. Parents, when they tell you, kids, when your parents tell you to go mow the lawn, don't go, or clean your room. Do it with your whole heart, with a song in your heart. And if you're asked to sing in church, sing. It's not illegal. It's not biblical. You know what it is? It's showing your heart and your heart towards the Lord. That's what God wants. He's testing our heart. When he gives, you know, sometimes God will give us things in our life that doesn't make sense just to see if we're going to do it. May I give you an example? It's one of the stupidest rules I've ever come in contact with. When I was in the military, I was staying in the military dorms, and we'd have inspections there every now and again. Did you know that we had a rule in our dorms in the Air Force that we could not have trash in the trash can? If they came and gave an inspection and I had trash in my trash can, I would get in trouble for it. Isn't that stupid? Isn't that what trash cans are made to do? But that was a rule. So you know what we had to do? Submit. You know, do I understand why? Well, they said something about fire happening, you know, when we're walking out of the trash can's going to spontaneously combust. But you know, it doesn't matter why. God allowed that rule to be there to test my heart. It's a stupid rule. It's still a rule. Is it illegal? No. Is it immoral? No. Is it unbiblical? No. Then do it. You see, God is putting Abraham on trial here to see if he loves God more than my rights, more than what I want, more than what I love most. You see, it's a submissive heart. And it starts off with the small things. You can't obey God in the big things until you obey God in the small things. Notice as we continue to go on here in verse number 9. And they came to the place which God told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar of the wood. We have the obedience of Abraham. We have the submissiveness of Isaac. Now let's show the third person in here, the provision of God. The provision of God. Notice in verse number 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. I think there was some explanation there. I don't think it was a whisper. And he said, here am I. You know, I think Abraham was able to stop in mid-swing. I think he was able to control himself as soon. I think he was waiting for something to happen. And as soon as it, he didn't say, wait, let me finish this first. He obeyed God immediately. Oh, here I am. Yes. You see, he had already proved himself. And something that seemed unreasonable, something that was just way out there, and he obeyed anyways. Verse number 11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him, for now I know. How does he know? By the obedience that Abraham had. Now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. God says, hey, you passed the test. You don't need to carry it on. We're done. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and behold, him, a ram caught in the thicket by the horns. And Abraham went out and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is today. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Now, there's some good things here. The test was to see who was going to be God in Abraham and Isaac's life. Do you know Isaac? Abraham wasn't the only one here. Isaac had a test. It was his faith too to see if he was going to obey God by obeying authority. So both of them proved that they loved God, and God provided himself. In the name Jehovah Jireh, God provides. May I put this in here? That there would be no need of God's provision without Abraham's obedience. There would be no need of Abraham's provision without, or there would be no need of God's provision without Abraham's obedience. Do you know how we get God to supply for us? By us obeying. It is our obedience that causes God to provide. Hey, if you're not serving the Lord, then why should God supply for you? It's when you step out by faith and you're hanging over the tree limb and there's nothing to catch you that you need God to supply when there's no other choice. That's the faith life. By the way, that's where God's going to put you, so you have no other choice but to trust in God. God will provide. He's going to put you in situations that he has to provide. If you're not going to trust God, then hey, guess what? You may be fine. You may have all the finances you need. You may be content and happy. But you have no need of God providing because you never stepped out by faith. Without Abraham's obedience, there was no reason for God to provide. But because he obeyed, God provided what was necessary. This whole thing has been a big picture, by the way. Jehovah Jireh. You know the mount where they sacrificed, or this event took place at? Later on, that same mountain is going to be the place where the temple of Jerusalem sits. This is going to be the same place where God is going to rule in the millennium kingdom. This has been a special place, Mount Moriah. You could trace through Bible history. This is the city that David built, Jerusalem. This Mount Moriah where the temple was sitting at. This was the same place where Abraham was meant to have this trial at. You know, we see something else here. Remember I said the ages of the people? Abraham was 133 and Isaac was 33. You know who else died in that same area? Jesus Christ. And once again, Jesus did not have his life taken from him. He willingly laid down his life in submission to his Father. But this time, he was the Lamb that was provided to bring salvation to the rest of the world. This was a foreshadowing event. This event that happened literally in history was also to be a picture of what Jesus Christ was, that he was the Lamb that God slain from the foundation of the world. No wonder this place was called Jehovah Jireh, that God provides. And God carried out this picture, and he provided us a way of salvation, a way to have our sins forgiven, full, free, and forever. For all those that ask. You see, all of us deserve to die. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. That because of our sin, we deserve to die. But God commendeth his love towards us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, isn't that kind of what God did? Is that whosoever believeth in him should not perish? Here, Isaac believed in the authority, and because of that, he did not perish at this time. You know what he did get? He got everlasting life. This was his chance to prove he trusted in God. And God gave Isaac promises because of this. And it goes on through this passage here, talking to Abraham and Isaac, giving them the promises that God wanted them to have, knowing that from them they were going to have descendants. Let's just look at it, if you wouldn't mind. Verse number 15. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. What a wonderful thing that God provided. And this trial here showed that they loved God more than everything else. Do you love God? You know, words are cheap. Anyone can say, I love God. But faith always produces action. faith always produces action. You want to show that you love God? You show it by your obedience to biblical authority. Anyone can say, I love God, but if you don't obey your parents, you don't love God, according to the Bible. You may have some fuzzy feeling, but that's not true love, not according to the Bible. Parents, if you say, I love the Lord, but you have a hard time obeying your employer, there's an issue there. If you say, I love the Lord, but you have a hard time obeying little things that the pastor gives you, your problem is not with the pastor, your problem is with the Lord. It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. See, we all have biblical authority. We all have someone that we give an account to. We all have someone that God uses to direct our path. And our obedience to that authority, our submissiveness to that authority, tells of our love towards God. So just let me ask you to consider in your mind, this week, how's your obedience been? Children, how's your obedience been to your parents? Church members, how's your obedience to your pastor? If he said, read your Bible, and you said, I haven't got around to it, that's a big deal. You say, well, I love the Lord, but your boss asks you to do stuff, and you keep putting it off and don't obey immediately and try to get someone else to do it, that's an issue. You see, it's all a heart matter, and it all depends on our heart towards the Lord. Maybe you're here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you don't know for sure that your sins are forgiven. Let me encourage you here, dear friend. God has provided himself a lamb. He provided himself, Jesus Christ, who willingly left the glories of heaven, robed himself in flesh, and dwelt on this earth to live the same life that you and I lived. He went through the same temptations, the same troubles, and the same heartbreaks. Then he died to pay the price that you and I owed him. He rose again the third day to prove that he was God and to prove that God was satisfied with the payment that was made. And it would be our great privilege to take the Bible and show you from the Bible how you can know for sure that your sins are forgiven. We want to show you about this lamb that was provided before the foundation of the world. This lamb of God that cometh to take away the sins of the world. Dear friend, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, how is your love towards the Lord? Now, I'm not talking about a fuzzy feeling. I'm not just talking about that you're able to sing songs and that you show up to church. How's your obedience? That's a test. That is a proof, an evidence of your heart towards the Lord. You know, we live in a world, we live in an America that encourages rebellion. We have to go against the flow. We have to go against society. We have to go against our peers to choose to obey the authority. You know, Christians should be the very best employee that a place has. It should never be said that that employee who's a Christian is lazy. That employee who's lazy can't get the work done. That employee that we have is not faithful. We can't trust them. The Christian employee should be the very best employee. We should be the example. They should know that whatever they ask, it be done. Someone say, but if I do that, they'll give me more work. What a blessing that is. What a great testimony it is that they can trust you that much, that you're going to get it done. Don't be afraid of work. It's everyone else that's trying to get out of work. We shouldn't be getting out of work. We should be being the example of what a believer ought to be. Why? Not because we love our boss. Your boss may be the mangiest mutt there ever was. It's because we love the Lord. We love the Lord. So how is your heart towards the Lord? How was it shown? How is it proved? By your obedience to biblical authority. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time
to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.